everyone. Welcome to Centennial Radio. I'm here with Giancarlo Campo and Jamie Nugenbauer, and today we're going to discuss Canada's performance against Honduras. I'm sure there's lots of content to get to, so we'll go right to Jamie.
Oh my gosh, just the worst. In case you missed it, I don't know how you could have missed such an atrocity, such a tragedy. Canada fell 8-1 in their last round 3 CONCACAF World Cup qualifying match, and it was just, I was wearing a Canada hockey jersey to the pub, just walking home, was just the worst feeling. I felt so much shame and anger, and I'm sure we're going to get some of these feelings out of our system. How did it make you feel, Carlo?
Not good. It was an interesting sort of day for me. Watched the game and then sort of tried to tune it out for a few hours before going back online to, you know, sort of see what the reaction was. You know, I obviously had my own thoughts, but I wasn't sure how much people would share those thoughts or opinions with me. Just because, yeah, there's a lot of different angles people are taking on this. Some, you know, blame the player, some blame the coach, some blame the mentality, the inconsistency. A lot to say the team isn't good enough. So, you know, like, obviously I sort of expected different opinions. But yeah, it was just kind of upsetting because after finally going back online to see what the public opinion was on Twitter and just everywhere, it sort of came across as anger and almost like a sense of betrayal for many fans. So there was just something really upsetting about that because, you know, up until now there was such a sense of optimism. You know, people were looking at the Hex like, oh, if we, you know, we're this close, we haven't been this close in so long, and if we get there, oh, who are we gonna, you know, who are we gonna play in the Hex? Oh, you know, Costa Rica might be there. Oh, like, you know, Panama and Honduras might be there, and we can obviously, you know, contend with both those teams. You know, maybe we can actually reach this World Cup. And it was just such a sense of being put in your place and making you realize how far you actually are from reaching the World Cup that happened on Tuesday, that I think it's not the easiest feeling to sink in for a lot of Canadian fans.
But I'm of the mind where I'm tired of even the notion and whether or not it's true that the Canadian national team doesn't have good enough players.
They're not good enough.
But they might not be, but I'm tired of that notion because, you know, like, they should have, and we go back to when they played in Toronto against Honduras. They should have beaten Honduras then. And then if they had gotten through that, it wouldn't have mattered.
But that's the thing. If we were a good enough team, we would have at least put one of the goals in the back net in that 90-minute, you know, in those 90 minutes. We had all kinds of opportunities to take that match. And that good team would have, without a doubt, you know, taken advantage of that, and we wouldn't have even been in this situation on Tuesday. We would have already had booked our place. So,
well, I guess it's a combination of a whole bunch of things. But I guess I'm just tired of any sort of excuse that Soccer Canada or any of those guys have, because I guess I'm just so battered and broken.
Yeah,
you know.
I guess it's also like, who are you really going to point the finger at, right? Like, you can point the like, you can't blame Steven Hart. Like, I think he's done a great job of working with, you know, what's available to him. It's not, you know, it's not like you're giving him endless options for what, you know, you're starting 11. He really has to be careful about how he approaches each game tactically, and, you know, damage limitation is unfortunately sort of a theme for the Canadian national team. So,
yeah.
I don't know. It's a very tricky situation figuring out where to point the finger. The CSA, I think, has been doing a good job recently of trying to get their act together. And, you know, there's still a long way to go with, the way we set up our, you know, the way we develop players in Canada. And that's going to take a long time. If that's, you know, if you want to say that it's, if you want to blame it on player development, then, and that's what it's going to take to get to the World Cup, we're going to be looking, you know, it's going to be a while before we get all that straightened out. So, you know, I don't even think we can realistically say 2018 is going to be any different if that's who you want to blame.
Yeah, well, if you look on the field, I mean, some could argue that, you know, the captain, McKenna, came into the game with you know, not feeling well. Again, that's nobody's fault. I mean, Haino wasn't obviously any help to him.
McKenna was awful.
McKenna was awful. But
he was awful.
He was saying that he was sick. And also they were saying that Jazzik was out.
Yeah.
And I guess their whole back line was disrupted as a result of that. Again, there's an excuse.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, we were talking for how long about how great this back four for Canada was. You know, people were talking about, you know, we went, what was it? I think it was nine consecutive qualifiers until Canada conceded their first goal. It might have been 8 or 10. I think it was 9, though. Until they actually conceded their first goal in qualifying to Panama. You know, and now we're talking about how this back line, and we've pulled a 180 just after, you know, in a month's time. And now we're saying, you know, how awful this back line really does look. We have Jazic is 36 right now. He's, you know, his career is obviously done with the team, so there's no future there. And Klukowski, he looked awful at left back. You know, like, realistically, TFC's Ashton Morgan might be, you know, the next in line to take that left back spot. Hainault's going to be gone. He's getting old and does not look comfortable playing center back. He's naturally a right back at the Houston Dynamo. It doesn't strike me as a good fit. McKenna, you got to assume his time is done. He just didn't look good either. You know, and David Edgar is the other defender, and he doesn't even play, you know, defense for, you know, in England for his club.
He can go back and forth.
Right? Yeah, he can. And, you know, he actually does look like fairly comfortable at right back, but that's just because I think he's one of the more comfortable and one of the technically more versatile players on Canada's team. So,
yeah, well, let's take the time to whip the whipping boy, though, because I think that's always a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Toussaint Ricketts.
Yes.
The exemplification of our lack of depth as a country.
Absolutely.
Especially up front.
Absolutely.
Talk about Toussaint Ricketts.
Okay, well, I'm sure you're going to have stuff to say as well, but I'll go first. Okay, well, that, you know, people, there was a lot of talk, first of all, about what happened in the second minute of the game where Toussaint had the chance inside the 6-yard box to put Canada up 1-0 and just, you know, took an awful touch. And it was almost as if when he took that touch, it really did sort of epitomize, you know, everything that's wrong, you know, with the way we develop players. You know, he could have hit that first time. You know, if you're going to take two touches, at least, like, make sure that your first touch is better than the way he did. You know, he gave the defender enough time to scramble back and then clear the ball.
Or be aware of
yourself. Yeah, just be aware of your surroundings, right? And he just looked awful. He didn't, you know, this was supposed to be a game also where Canada was going to, you know, approach it with a little bit more of a defensive mindset. Toussaint did not track back at all. Like, on the left side, both Izaguirre and Peralta were just literally bombing right by him, and poor Klukowski, who, you know, like I said, is not exactly a world-class left back. Yeah. He's got to deal with, you know, these technically gifted players, and, you know, he needs help from, like, Toussaint had to track back more than he did. He wasn't getting the job done up front, losing possession, like, you know, every time he received the ball, mm-hmm. and providing absolutely no help to the back lines, which needed, you know, that help. Like, this was not a game where Canada was playing with three strikers or something, right? It's like Toussaint needed to come back more often than he did, and I don't think he has that ability to sort of track back on defense when it's time to. You know, he's very much a player who stays up there, it's almost like in a Olivier Ocean kind of way, right? But unlike Ocean, you know, he doesn't do the greatest job of putting the ball in the back of the net. So I don't know. It's frustrating because I actually do really like Toussaint. You know, there's a lot of things about him that I do like, but if that's who we have to field, if that's the kind of quality that we have to field for a crucial game like the one against Honduras, we're not going to beat teams like Honduras.
Yeah, but then Bengtsson scores where he just sort of juggles the ball through like the Canadian defense and then taps it in the 7th minute to get the score, and then Julian de Guzman gets a great chance, shoots the ball off the far post, and then again Ricketts. The more glaring, most glaring miss, one of the most glaring misses I've ever seen in real soccer before in my entire life.
Again, like right there, you know, like he, you know, like you have to be another killer instinct. You have to, you like there's that killer instinct that, you know, we always seems to come up when we're talking about Canada's team, and it just, you know, again, wasn't there. And it's the same story every World Cup cycle. This time it's just, you know, Ricketts who we're sort of going after. And I don't know, it's frustrating because you can't just dump the blame on Ricketts. Even if he scored there, there's no way you could tell me that Honduras wouldn't have scored twice. And even if they won 2-1, they would have advanced, right? Canada would have been knocked out 2-1, 8-1. Either way, we're going home. So I refuse to believe that even if Ricketts had scored there, McKenna would have advanced. Hunters would have still broken down that defense for the rest of the game. So,
but I guess there's the sense of if you're the guy who misses an opportunity, there's one guy you can blame versus a whole blaming four guys or
it's a little easier.
Six guys or 10 guys who are responsible for keeping a Honduras side. And both of us were there when Honduras played Canada in Toronto. And both of us have been following this Honduras team throughout this tournament. Mm-hmm. And they're not Barcelona. They're not like...
They're not great.
Like,
technically, they're one of the best teams in CONCACAF, right? But we have to be careful with that statement because, you know... Yes, they are, but they'll...
But we're more than capable. Like, not more than capable, but I believe that we were capable of at least holding them to a draw.
Absolutely.
We're not
8-1
worse than Honduras.
No. That's like, you know, if we were to have played them, you know, five times, you know, like, it's not like that would have been the scoreline each single time, right? Like, we'd get every other game, I'm sure, would have been closer, but this happened to be the game that ended 8-1, I guess, and I don't know.
Well, I guess...
Tough.
To finish this off, I'll try to end it on a bit of a more positive note. I think it's great that Canada got to see how good Atiba Hutchinson is, the attacking midfielder for the PSV Eindhoven and Eredivisie in the Netherlands.
He seems to be a level above everyone else who plays around him. Although I do like Will Johnson in the midfield as well.
Yeah, Will Johnson.
I think he's got a bright future with this team.
Yeah, and he's a big part of his MLS club, Real Salt Lake, right?
Yeah,
he's a big part of that team as well.
Absolutely.
And that Real Salt Lake team has been good for the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. So he's did a great job of crossing the ball and taking free kicks, putting them on a plate for strikers who couldn't finish.
He even scored a goal himself against Cuba. You know, he's more aware of his surroundings than some of the strikers are on Canada's team. So.
Yeah.
It's frustrating. But also before we go, your thoughts on maybe what players we won't be seeing again for Canada.
We won't be seeing.
Yeah, whether it's because of age or just simply because they're not good enough anymore. What do you think? Who do you think played their last game in Honduras on Tuesday?
Well, McKenna is getting long in the tooth. If he's still able to play, then we need him. But he was extremely distraught, and as you would imagine, he's the kind of guy who doesn't take things lightly, doesn't shed. He's a very emotional guy. Mm-hmm. So McKenna, Klukowski, De Guzman for sure.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I think Hirschfeld.
Hirschfeld is getting really old as well. So.
But goalkeeping is not really a problem.
No.
I like Milan Borjan coming up. I think.
Do you think
we're okay for goalkeeping.
Yeah, but goalkeeping is not well. It's never not very rarely ever been our issue. Do you think Di Rosario is done?
I think so. Oh God! Like the last thing I want to do is bring up right now players' names like Junior Hoylett or Jonathan De Guzman. But the reality is, if either one of those players joins up, that's Di Rosario's spot they're taking. Yeah.
So. For sure. And then I guess you talk about Simeon Jackson. I guess everybody had these expectations being an English Premier League player coming in, and he really had no tangible impact.
I don't know what it is. I mean, like he got off to a great start this season with Norwich. He scored three goals in his first three appearances with the team this season. You know, he's got some goals in qualifying for Canada. You know, he's a good striker. Don't get me wrong, but again. We talk about that killer instinct, and I wonder if Jackson has it.
Yeah, but
at least at the international level.
Yeah, but anyways, we are sitting here broken and angry individuals, and I'm sure Soccer Canada will be criticized, and this game that I coined Black Tuesday, October the 16th, 2012, Canada fell 8-1 to Honduras to end their dreams of making the 2014 World Cup in Brazil. I am Jamie Neugebauer.
I'm Carlo Campo.
And special thanks to Stefan Anderson for setting us up. And hope you enjoyed listening to our angry rants. Take care, everybody.
Cheers.